We're up to the top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Hachi Nami Misprabra, the Rav Krav Yehuda Svirale. The end of the Gemara before, we said that that which Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, goes like Rav Yehuda, who holds a Mokta. So the Gemara says it makes sense, there's other proof that Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. The Omer Rav, Menichen Ner Agabe Dekel B'Shabbos, the Ein Menichen Ner Agabe Dekel B'Yontif. You're allowed to put a lamp before Shabbos on a tree, but you're not allowed to put a lamp on a tree before Yontif and leave it there in Yontif. The reason is you're not allowed to have any hishtamshish, you're not allowed to use a tree, anything more than 3 tefachim high from the ground. You're not allowed to put things on or take things off it on Shabbos because we're afraid you may come up and pull things off the tree. So the Rabbanan assured any hishtamshus, any use of a tree. So therefore, on Shabbos, we're not afraid that you're going to come and take the lamp off the tree even when it goes out because muktzah. But on Yontif, where the lamp is not muktzah, we're afraid that you may come to take it off the tree. Therefore, you can't leave it there from before Yontif for fear that you'll take it off the tree on Yontif and you'll become, come to use the tree. Rashi, Menichim Ner Miba'od Yom, on Friday or on Erev Yontif, Al Gabi Dekel, the Yidlik Shom B'Shabbos, we're not afraid to leave it burn there on Shabbos, the Lekel HaMechosh L'Chashiyich Be'Lishkele Minei, we're not afraid that when it goes out, you'll take it off the tree, the Nimsa Mishtamish B'Mechuber, comes out that you're making use of something connected to the ground, meaning a tree, since when Shabbos came in, the Ner was Muktzah for burning, even when it goes out, it remains Muktzah the whole Shabbos, which is like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, we're not afraid that you'll come to take away the lamp and use the tree. The Ein Menichim B'Yontif, the Shokel U'Monech Le'u Mishtamish B'Ilah. Because we're afraid that when the lamp either is burning, it doesn't make a difference on Yontif, you can move a burning lamp on Yontif too, right? Or when it goes out, you'll take it off the tree and you'll end up using the tree, being mishtamish with the tree. So, Iyomers Bishlama de Rav Krib Yehuda Svirile, if you hold that Rav holds a Krib Yehuda, Hainu de Shani ben Shabbos li Yontif. That's what's called the difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Ela Iyomers Krib Shimon Svirile, but if you hold, he holds a Krib Shimon, Mali Shabbos, Mali Yontif. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? When the lamp goes out, Shabbos is the same thing as Yontif. You're allowed to then, when the lamp goes out, you're allowed to move the lamp on Shabbos, according to Shimon. And if we're afraid you'll come to take the lamp off the tree on Yontif, we should be the same thing afraid you'll take the lamp off the tree on Shabbos when it goes out. Rashi, Mali Shabbos, B'Shabbos no mishokalech l'sheyichta. On Shabbos, you'll also take it off when it goes out. The Rav Krib Yehuda Svirulei. As I saw, from Bnei Brak, Yehoshua's son-in-law. What? Zilberstein. He has a sefer with the shailas that have to do with the amudim of the Gemara, dathim of the Gemara. He has a shaila there, which I mamas don't understand. He has a shaila about putting up a string of lights on a tree from before Shabbos or Yontif. Shabbos is not a problem. Yontif, before Yontif. Put up a string of electric lights on a tree. Right? Is it the same halach over here? Not putting a lamp on a tree before Yontif. He goes through all the tzlam. I understand the shayla. A string of electric lights is muktzah on Yontif too. Because you're not allowed to light electric lights on Yontif. Right? So they're muktzah. They're not like a regular lamp that you can move. Right? They're muktzah bechlal, lechara. Right, why we should be afraid that you're going to take the electric lights off the tree, right? Unless maybe the electric lights themselves are not muktzah to light the light, but the string of lights is lit, maybe not muktzah. There's a shail over there whether you can take it off, you can leave it there from before Yontif or whatever, but in any case, now here a little bit. It could be that the string of lights is not muktzah, and you can move lights around on Yontif. It could be you're allowed to move lights around on Shabbos. Because there's no problem to put it out. Lamp is a problem to put it out. There's no problem to put it out. Okay, in any case, now let's go on. V'Rav K'Rabbi Yehuda Svir Lei. So now we brought a proof that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara is going to ask, does Rav really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? V'Habo Minei D'Rav. They asked Rav the following shaila. Mau L'Tutule Shraga D'Chanuksa Mikmei Chavrei B'Shabsa. They asked Rav the following shaila. It's Hanukkah, and the Chaverim was a nation, Rashi says, who were mixed in with the Persians, and they didn't let people light any fire outside their temple on certain days, or alternately, there was a gzeira that they made that people weren't allowed to light candles or light Hanukkah candles. So now you lit Hanukkah candles outside, and you're afraid that the chaverim are going to come and you're going to be in trouble. So you're allowed to, when it goes out on Shabbos, move it inside so they won't see that you lit candles. V'omer lahu shaper dummy. So he told them it's okay. So you see that who the hell you're allowed to move a candle, a lamp, after it went out. So it says shasat chak shani. Right there was a shasat chak. See Rashi, shraga de chanuksa achar shikava, after it went out. Mikmi chavri shelo yiruhu bechatzer. They shouldn't see a lamp sitting there in your chatzer. Kedamrinu bepirkin de'leil, like we learned before. The nos no betefach hasomach l'shusarabim. The proper place to light a Hanukkah menorah is in the tefach closest to the shusarabim. The yadu shidliku boner, and they'll know. They'll see from the lamp that you lit the Hanukkah menorah there. The heim gozru shalolahad, and they made a gzeira that you're not allowed to light it, and you're going to get in trouble. Inami biyom chagam, or another possibility, it was on their holiday. Or their holidays, they don't let anybody light fire except in their Beis Avodah Zarah, and they'll see you did, and you'll get into trouble. Chavrei shem umashoisa im parsim. It's the name of a people that lived together with the Persians. So the Gemara says shasat chak shani. Now we'll see also deha amar le Rav Kahana v'Ravashi l'Rav hachi ilchasa. Because when Rav gave this psak that you can move the Hanukkah menorah after it went out, so Rav Kahana Rav Ashi said to Rav, is that really the halacha? Right? That you're allowed to move a lamp that went out? Amar lahu, kedayu Rav Shimon lismoch ala b'shasat chak. Since it's a shasat chak, we'll see in 1 second what the shasat chak was, so you can rely on Rav Shimon, even though the halacha is not like Rav Shimon, but since there is an opinion like that, the shasat chak, you're allowed to rely on him. Okay, Rashi says, "Hachi hilchus abitmi." Is this halacha like that? B'shasat chak sakana. Rashi learns, "Shasat chak" means it was a sakana. It's literally a dangerous situation. Like if these people found that you lit Hanukkah menorah, they could kill you. That's seemingly what Rashi's saying. Alma shalom b'shasat chak asher. But if it would be a normal situation, then in Chanami, Rav holds a Rabbi Yehuda that you're not allowed to move a lamp even after it's extinguished. But in a time of sakana, you are allowed to move it. Okay, so Riaz takapaskins like this, that b'shasat chak, you're allowed to move a nair that went out, like Rav Shimon. Rashi's mashma that it's only shasat chak usually means a bidyevid situation, a necessity, but it's not dangerous. Rashi's mashma, it's only b'shasa sakana, that's what the Magen Avraham says. The Yerabba says, if it's sakana, you can move it when it's burning. You can put it out, right? Sakana's nefashas, it's pikuach nefesh, right? So the, some say, the Matzah Shekel says, Rashi doesn't mean mamish is sakana's nefashas. He means, it's sakana, you could lose money, or sakana that they'll hurt you, but it's not pikuach nefesh. So, while it's pikuach nefesh, we can't be matter or anything. It's not pikuach nefesh. But it's a shasat chak means that there's going to be consequences of pain or loss of money. That kind of shasat chak. But anything less than that, where it's a uncomfortable situation or whatever, Rashi would hold that's not mutter. Some say that here it wouldn't be mutter to do anything except maybe move a candle that went out, but not mutter to do anything that would be osur min haTorah because you brought the shasat chak upon yourself. There's this big shaila in the achronim where somebody puts himself into a situation where now it's pikuach nefesh where you're allowed to be mechal shabbos for him, right? somebody, what's it called, brought the pikuach nefesh upon himself. Are you allowed to mechal Shabbos or not? A pashtus you are, okay? But there is a shita mechaschinuch and others that, what's it called, that if a person puts himself here, the guy, what's it called, put the menorah, Tosa says, that what was he doing making him the menorah outside? It says, b'shas takana, they made a takana, you put it on your table. You put it inside. Why did he put it outside? So Tosa says two terutzim. One is that, what's it called, it happened if it happened, right, that he didn't put it on his table, right? And another pshat he says is that it wasn't sakana schaveirim before. That was where they made a gzera, and therefore they said you could put it on your table. But stam sakana schaveirim, they didn't make this takana yet. So you had a right to put it outside. But according to Tosa's first teretz, it's talking where you put it outside, shelo kedin. You should have put it inside, and you put it outside. So since you did it, you made yourself this sakana come upon you, you could have done it a different way. You decided to do it a way that made the sakana, then there are shittas that hold that you can't be mechal Shabbos for such a person. But, l'maisa, just to move mukta, when his Rav Shimon holds its mutter, that much, yeah.
Is it enough for me if it's a bar mitzvah and he's putting himself in
sukkah? But still, you have no right to do that. But you do see from this Tosus a different thing. The shaila whether today you can light outside or not. When the Rabbanan said you can put it inside, does that mean that they took away the halacha of lighting it outside? There's a shita like that. And you have to light inside today. Can't light outside. Everywhere. Or no, they just said that when there's a need, you could light inside, but if the need's not there, then the real halacha is to light outside. Most shittas hold that bisman hazeh, you're allowed to light outside, especially where the reason for the takana doesn't apply, right? But there is one shita, Divrei Yoshua, I saw, Divar Yoshua, he says that bisman hazeh can't light outside, you have to light inside, because once they made the takana to light inside, they took away the takana of lighting outside. The Maisa from this Gemara is mashman like that. Whereas mashma that you are yotzei the mitzvah if you happen to light outside, right? Maybe you didn't have to, but you did it. Okay.
What about the Mishnah where you're allowed to put out the candle for the
goyim? What? Yeah, we said that. That's where sakanas pikuach nefesh.
So this is.
Yeah, this is. We're saying over here it's not pikuach nefesh. Okay. Rav Nissen Gaon says that it's not a sakana at all. What happened over here is that they used to take any candles, any lamps that they found, and bring it to their base Avodah Zarah. So a person is going to be mitzayer the fact that his lamp was taken to Avodah Zarah. Right? Not that they took the lamp away, but they used it for Avodah Zarah. So here, it's not talking about pikuach nefesh. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to beat you. They're not going to fine you. It's just that they're going to take your lamp away and use it for Avodah Zarah. That's mitzayer the person. So just tsar alone should be enough of a reason to be somech on Reb Shimon, and the Mishnah Berurah says it's mutter even if emas hagoyim, you're afraid of the goyim, even they're not going to kill you, but you're afraid that's going to be an uncomfortable situation, then you're allowed to, what's it called, move a lamp that went out. Okay, bo minei reish lakish and Reb Yochanan. Reish lakish asked Reb Yochanan the following shayla. Chitim shezoran bekarka, if you took, what's it called, seeds of wheat, which are not mukzah, because they're wheat, they're edible, and you planted them in the ground, but they didn't take root, so you're allowed to pull them up again. But lemaisa, you planted them, so you don't want to eat them anymore. You don't want to move them around. You want them to take root. Ubeitzim shetachas tarnegoles, and eggs that you're not interested in eating, you're leaving them under the chicken to hatch. So you have basically push these things out of your mind for use, that they should be now either set aside for growing or set aside for hatching. Mar, ki les leil Reb Shimon muktzah heichad lo dachya b'yadayim. Where is Reb Shimon not hold of muktzah where you didn't push it away actively out of your mind for Shabbos? But heichad lo dachya b'yadayim islay muktzah, but where you mamish pushed, like over here, you did an action that pushed this thing away from usage on Shabbos actively. You planted these seeds, or you left the eggs under the chicken for hatching. Odil maloshna, or maybe there's no difference. Reb Shimon doesn't hold of muktzah in either case. Amarle ain muktzah Reb Shimon. The only muktzah that Reb Shimon holds is shemen shebener b'shoah shehu dolek. Hoyle v'huktzal mitzvah, so huktzal isuro. So the only muktzah that Rav Shimon holds is where you have oil in the lamp and it's burning, since it's huktzal mitzvah, so it's, you set it aside for the mitzvah of Shabbos candles, right? And also, it's huktzal isuro. You can't take the oil out because you could put out the flame. And like Tosa said before, we're not only talking about taking the oil out of the lamp itself, but any oil that even drips from that lamp you can't use because, what's it called, we're afraid that you may come to put out the flame, okay, if we let you use that oil. So that's the only kind of muktzah that Reb Shimon holds. Oil in a lamp or oil from a lamp that's still burning, right, where it's huktzah mitzvaso and huktzah isuro. Now the Gemara thinks that you need both of them. It has to be set aside for the mitzvah and also to take out that there's a chance you'll come to put out the flame. But if it's just hooked to the mitzvah, so that wouldn't be enough, right? If you just set it aside for a mitzvah, but there's no iser involved, the chara, that would not be muktzah according to Rav Shimon. That's what the Gemara is going to ask now. We see that that is muktzah. But the Gemara says, but where you planted wheat and then you decided that you didn't want it planted, so you pull it out of the ground, or you decided you want these eggs for hatching, and then you have a sore throat and you want to gargle with the eggs, they're not muktzah according to Rav Shimon. Rashi, Shizoran b'karka, v'adayin lo hishrishu. They haven't yet taken root, because otherwise you wouldn't be allowed to take them out of the ground. Ma'u lilkot v'lechol. Can you change your mind on Shabbos and go pick them out and eat them? Ein muktzah Rav Shimon b'dover haroi. There's no muktzah to Rav Shimon with something that has some use, like food or a kli or something that you could use. Right? There is muktzah, according to Rav Shimon, something that has no use on Shabbos. That we'll see later, what kind of muktzah Rav Shimon holds up. But muktzah of something that has a use on Shabbos, but you've designated it for not using, there Rav Shimon holds you could change your mind. The only thing that Rav Shimon holds is muktzah is if you put oil in a lamp and it's still burning. That oil you can't change your mind, decide to use, even if it dripped out of the lamp while it's burning. Since it's huktzah for the mitzvah of Shabbos candles, right? Candles that are burning on Shabbos are a mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And huktzah lisuro yisur kibui. There's also a problem over here of taking out the shemen where you could come to put out the lamp. Gemara says, the lesle huktzah lemitzvasa. You're trying to tell me that Rav Shimon only holds of muktzah if both of these things exist? That it's muktzah, it's set aside because of the mitzvah, right? You've designated it for the mitzvah, and you've also designated it because there's a problem that you may come to be an issur. Both things together make it muktzah according to Rav Shimon. But one by itself, not. V'atanya sichicha kilchasa. We have a braisa that says the following. If you put schach kahalocha, you put properly, put schach on the sukkah, the itra, the kromim, and then you, what's it called, you decorated the sukkah, right, with kromim, is colorful clothing, uvesadinim, and with, sheets, hametsuyorim, different kinds of pictures, v'tola bo egozim, afarsikim, shkedim, v'rimonim, and you hung in the sukkah, these are the sukkah decorations, right, you hung up nuts and peaches and almonds and pomegranates, v'apirchilei shel anovim, and the clusters of grapes, v'ataros shel shibolim, and certain kinds of grain, Yenos, you hung wine, shmonim, oil, siltos, different kinds of what's it called, the flour in obviously in what's it called in Kalin. Also the stopic man had mostly gone to Tahra. You're not allowed to use them to use them until the end of Shmini Atzeres. Dimhisna lehim I call it no, but if you made it tznai, then in other words you said I reserve the right to use them when I want to. So you never totally designated them for the sukkah. When you put them up, you said, "In any bodel mehem kol bein hashmashos." I'm not separating myself from these decorations, the whole bein hashmashos, and if I decide that I want to use them, I can use them. Then you never were makza them. Then you never designated them for the mitzvah completely. You reserved the right to use them. You temporarily designated for the mitzvah. Then hakol lefitzo, then you can do whatever your tanai was. So Gemara says, what's it called? You see, over here there's no isser. right, to take the decorations off the sukkah, right, there's no isser involved, right, you're not taking apart the sukkah, it's not sosir, and it's not the kibui, there's no isser here, the only thing is that it was hooked to the mitzvah, so it was designated for a mitzvah. So you see that it is what's it called, mukta. There's two kinds of mukta here. One is it's mukta that you can't move it on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and on Chol HaMoed you can't take it down and use it in a way that it would prevent you from doing the mitzvah. If you take it off the sukkah, right, so you've made it not a decoration anymore. So by taking it down off the sukkah, you have taken it out of its, what you designated for the mitzvah, right? And since you can't take it down and use it, right, you could use it while it's hanging there in a way that it won't destroy it. You can't eat it even if it's hanging in the sukkah on Chol HaMoed, because then it's not going to be a decoration anymore. But if it's, you can move it on Chol HaMoed, right, because you're not, you, and leave it of hanging up there, but you can make use of it in a way that it doesn't take it away from its mitzvah on Chol HaMoed. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov, since you can't use it, you can't, what's it called, take it down, so it becomes muktzeh l'mitzvah, so you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So you see that even though it's only hooked to the mitzvah, so it's only designated for the mitzvah, there's absolutely no isser involved over here, still it's muktzeh. The Gemara says, "We mind Reb Shimon." How do I know this goes according to Reb Shimon? Right? We're saying that. How can you say that Reb Shimon only holds a muktzeh where both things are there, hooked to the mitzvah, so and that it's hooked to the isuro, that there's an isser involved like putting out the lamp? I'll show you that Reb Shimon holds that even if it's only hooked to the mitzvah, so in like these cases of the sukkah decorations, it's still muktzeh. So the Gemara says, "I didn't see Reb Shimon's name mentioned over here. How do you know it's not Reb Shimon? Maybe that's Reb Yehuda." Umag Reb Shimon, he, the Tani Reb Chia Bar Yosef, Kamed Reb Yochanan. I'll tell you how I know it's Reb Shimon. Because Reb Chia Bar Yosef taught in front of Reb Yochanan, a note lim eitzim min hasukkah b'yantav, ela min hasamukla. You're not allowed to take wood away from the sukkah on yantav, right? Only from things close to the sukkah, but not from the sukkah itself. Reb Shimon matir, and Reb Shimon holds its mutter. The shavin besukkah, that's talking about not a sukkah of sukkahs. That's a sukkah on Pesach and on Shavuos, where you sit outside in a gazebo. That kind of sukkah. So there's no mitzvah involved over here. The shayla is only soser. So you can take wood that's not soser, that you're, where you're not going to take the sukkah apart, Reb Shimon holds, that's mutter. Even though that wood was set aside for the sukkah, but the ma'aseh, if it doesn't involve pulling down the sukkah, it's okay. The shoven the sukkah sachag the chag, but if it's sukkahs, you're sitting in a sukkah on sukkahs, she asura. There, everybody holds that it's asur to take wood away because it was hooked to the mitzvah. So, in hisne aleha kol itzno, right? And if you made a tznai, everything is okay, right? The what's it called? The shown the mask over here, and the Gemara could have asked from this brisa by itself. Why do we have to ask from the first one? But the Gemara wanted to ask the other one was more clear. Here it says b'feirish that Reb Shimon holds that if something is hooked to the mitzvah, so that it's mukzeh. Right? He only is matter where there's no mitzvah, like on Shavuos and Pesach, but not on Sukkot. See Rashi. V'atan yasichich ol sukkah kramim bigdei tzivonim. Their colorful clothing, a farsikin is peaches. Yeno shmonim b'klei shuchis. You have it in jars. Now, you obviously can't hang up wine without a jar. You have in a bottle. You hang up bottles of wine. Ad motza yantav achron, v'hacha muktza l'mitzvah ika, muktza the iser leka. Here, it's muktza, it's designated for a mitzvah, but has nothing to do with an iser, right? The imishum stiras ohel, right? Because if we're talking about tearing apart the sukkah, taking away the ohel, ki mata cholo shomoy lishteri, dum yidiner shekava. It should be mutter on Chol HaMoed. And it's not mutter on Chol HaMoed to take it down. Because the Isser is not because of Isser of taking down a sukkah. The Isser is because of using the decorations for something else in the mitzvah. How do you know that's Reb Shimon? It doesn't say Reb Shimon's name here. You can't take wood away from a sukkah that's made for shade on Pesach or Shavuos. Right? Even if the sukkah fell down, Mishum Muktzah, this Gatzoi, Machmas Stiras, Oel Beyonta. Because that wood was part of a binyan, a yontif, and now even though the binyan fell down, when yontif came in, it was muktzah. It's muktzah, remains muktzah the whole yontif. Elamin asamukla im sama chavilos etzim etzol dofneho. If you put some pieces of wood or bundles of wood next to the walls, leka isr muktzah. Then there's no muktzah. The daite alayu meyasmo, because you didn't intend to make them part of the sukkah. Right, you intended to leave them there and to have in mind that if you need them, you'll use them. The mishkalinu lamacher, the lo saser bua. Then you're not taking apart an ohel because they're not part of the sukkah. Umehach the tani Reb Chiya bar Yosef havimotzi laosve bereisha. Rashi says they could have asked right away from this. It says beferish over here. Reb Shimon says it's mutter. Right, ela nichole. Reb Shimon says that it's aser if it's what's it called? If it's on sukkahs, because then it's part of the, it's hooked to the mitzvasa. They wanted to ask the kasha better from a brisa that's Reb Chiya Reb Oshia. Could Amrim be alma kol masnisa d'lo misni be Reb Chiya Reb Oshia is not a barsa. You can't really rely on brises that weren't said by Reb Chiya Reb Oshia. So we wanted to better ask from a really authoritative brisa than put ourselves in danger and ask from something that the Gemara could have said. Oh, that's not an authoritative brisa anyway. Okay. For Reb Shimon Matir, im nafla, if it fell down, the less lay muktza. V'achimak minin l'abasechus beya. Right, it's talking where you had a sukkah on sukkahs, on Pesach, right, a gazebo, and there was wood in the gazebo, and then the gazebo fell down on Yontif. So you're allowed to use the wood, according to Reb Shimon, because Enochinami was muktza when Yontif came in, but now it's not muktza. Now it's not, you're not tearing apart a sukkah. Masha'en Kain, what's it called? Sukkahs itself, there it's what's it called, there it remains Aser. The Chora, why should it remain Aser? There's no Isser involved, right? The what's it called, especially with the decorations or whatever. So you see that this Brisa is the same as the one before. And there it applies even to the decorations where there's no Isser of taking apart the Sukkah. And still, Reb Shimon holds, since it was set aside for what's it called, for mitzvah, even though there's no isser involved anymore, it's mutter. So what's it called? And it's aser. So you see that huk to the mitzvah, Reb Shimon also holds his aser. Not only huk to the mitzvah, so the isuro together like the lamp. The shavim besukas hachag bechag, she huk to the mitzvah kol shiva, where there it was set aside for a mitzvah, not stam, what's it called, for a sukkah. Alma kol shas mitzvasa noeg muktzah shalah afagav delek eser stira. As long as the mitzvah applies, the thing is aser, even though there's no iser here of taking apart the binyan, taking apart the sukkah. So Mara says, ke'ein shemen shebener kamrinan. Hoel v'huktzah l'mitzvasa, huktzah l'isuro. Similar, not exactly the case of shemen shebener. The shemen holds a muktzah in anything similar to the case of shemen shebener, where it's huktzah l'mitzvasa. Ein hachinami, shemen shebener is worse because it's also huktzah l'isuro. There's also an idea of iser over here. Well, it's burning. But lamaisa, even if there wouldn't be an iser, but it's set aside for the mitzvah, there what's it called, Reb Shimon holds, as long as it's set aside for the mitzvah, right, and the mitzvah still applies, you're not allowed to take down the decorations. Itmar nami, om Reb Chiya bar Abba, om Reb Yochanan, ein muktzal Reb Shimon, ela ke'ein shemen shebener b'shashu dolek. Hoel v'huktzal mitzvah, so huktzal isuro. Right, anything similar to shemen shebener that is the mitzvah still applies to it. Right, when it goes out, there's no more mitzvah. Now she'en came by sukkah, the decorations, this the mitzvah applies the whole time. So Reb Shimon would hold that of muktzah, even where it's hooked to the mitzvah, so even if it's no iser involved, that kind of muktzah Reb Shimon holds of. So therefore, when you plant the wheat, or you leave the egg under the chicken. There, Reb Shimon would hold it's not muktzah, and if you change your mind, you could use it. Because that's not huktzah l'mitzvasa. Rashi. Ke'ein shemen kamina, velo mishum iser, ela mishum mitzvah. Dehoel, de huktzah l'mitzvasa, de Shabbos, huktzah l'chol zman iser d'lekaso. It becomes muktzah the whole time it's burning. Velo yosef, but not more than that. De'ein mitzvasa, ela b'shas d'lekaso, because it's only huktzah l'mitzvasa while it's burning. After it's burning, there's no more mitzvah anymore. Mishikava ain't bo mitzvah. Avo besukas achad mitzvasa kol shiva. The iktsasa calls my mitzvasa. By sukkah, the mitzvah is the whole 7 days. But the mice, let's say the decorations fell down, Well, now, even they fell down, so they're still booked, so the mitzvah still applies. So they're hooked on mitzvah, so you still couldn't use them. Okay. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein Muktzah L'Rav Shimon, Ela Grogros Tzimokim Bilvad. There's another kind of Muktzah that Rav Shimon holds. So we have one kind of Muktzah that Rav Shimon holds of, Muktzah L'Mitzvah. Now we have another kind of Muktzah that Rav Shimon holds of. Okay? And that is Grogros and Tzimokim. Okay? Grogros and Tzimokim is where you have raisins or figs, and what they used to do is dry them out. And there, the Grogros and Tzimokim are that when you start to dry them out, they become disgusting, and you can't eat them. And then when they get drier, they become edible again. So they're edible when they're fresh. In the process of drying them, they initially become edible, and then they become edible again. Okay, so since you set them aside, and they're going to become unedible through this process, right? Therefore, that's the Rav Shimon holds, that's called dachyubia. You mamish pushed it away, and you pushed it away to a situation where they're going to become unedible, that Rav Shimon holds as muktzah. Okay? But if you put something, set it aside, not for eating, but it's not going to become unedible, right? Like other kinds of fruits, which you dry them, and they don't become disgusting in between, right? But you didn't intend to eat them on Shabbos. You just wanted to put them away for drying. That lechara should be mutter, because it doesn't have the chumrah of tzimukim and grogros, which is that there's this time when they become unedible. So even though you put them away for drying, but they're never going to become unedible, so you could change your mind. But by tzimukim and grogros, since you knew that there's going to be a time you're not going to be able to eat it at all, and you still decided to set it aside for drying and not for, what's it called, not for eating, then it becomes muktzah, remains muktzah, even if it didn't become unedible, and you decide on Shabbos you want to eat the grapes, it's still no good. What? No, there's no time until it starts to hatch, and you can't eat it. Then, in Echanami, it'll be muktzah. But as long as it's still edible, it's edible. Here, you intend to eat it late. Oh, here, the egg. No, the egg, you can't eat it late. It's become a chicken. Yeah, but it's not that, right. Okay, so Mara says, other things, if you designate them for drying, right, and not for eating on Shabbos, then Rav Shimon holds are not muktzah. But Tanya ha'ochel b'te'enim, if you're eating figs, the hosir, the hel and legag, lasos mem grogros, and you decided, and you had leftover, and you decide, you know what, I'm not going to eat these figs fresh, I'm going to put them up on the roof, let them dry out, and they should become dried figs. Ba'anovim v'hosir, and you were eating grapes, and there was some leftover, the hel and legag, lasos mem tzimukim, and you decided, I don't want to eat grapes anymore, I want to have raisins. And you brought them up to the roof to dry. Lo yochel ad shiyazmin. You're not allowed to eat them again until you, before Shabbos, take them off the roof and say, I want to eat them as grapes again. But once you designated them for drying, they're not edible anymore on Shabbos. V'chein ata omer b'farsikin v'chavushin v'shar kol minei peiros. And the same thing, the Braisa says, applies to peaches and chavushim as plums, I think, and all other kinds of fruit. So, Lamaisa, you see that it's not only grogros and tzimukim, which become unedible as part of the process, even things that don't become unedible as part of the process, they're also, what's it called, we'll see in one second, the Rav Shimon holds that it's muktzah. That's what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara says, money. Who does this braisa go according to? Elaim Rav Yehuda, if it goes according to Rav Yehuda, Uma hecha de lo dachyu b'daim isle mukta, hecha de dachyu b'daim lo kol shekein. Right? What do I need to be told? If Yehuda holds of mukta, even where you didn't push it away and designate it specifically, actively. So surely where you did push it away, why did the Gemara say this case where you bedafka put it away for drying? According to Yehuda, it'll be muktzah even if you put it away and you didn't want to dry it out. You just wanted to store it up, put it in your storehouse. You took your mind off of eating it. Rabbi Yehuda would still hold muktzah. You put it into your storehouse. You didn't put it in your refrigerator, right? You have a storehouse and you have a refrigerator where you take things out to eat. and you took these fruits and you said, I'm not eating them anymore, right? I'm going to put them away and put them in my storehouse. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, those will still be muktzah. So why did the Braisa have to say a case where you're putting it away to dry, where you totally are actively, what's it called, taking it out of your mind, even if you didn't so actively take it out of your mind, right? You just put it away somewhere where it's not omeid anymore for eating, and it'd still be muktzah. So it doesn't make sense that this price would be Rabbi Yehuda. It wouldn't have to go to the extreme case where you put it away for drying. Elolav Rav Shimon he. Must be that this price goes to Rav Shimon. And still we see that Rav Shimon holds that even by other fruits, where part of the process is not that it becomes unedible, is also muktzah. That's also called Dachyu B'Yadayim. Mar says, no. La'olam Rabbi Yehuda. Va'ochel Itzturi Chalei. There's a chiddush over here. That you were eating these things, and they were left over, and then you, what's it called, you put them up to dry. Since you were eating the mamish, right, and even though you then changed your mind and decided to put them up on the roof to dry, right, but since the maisa, you did that in the midst of eating, I would say that that's not called already taking it out of your mind completely, and you don't need any more before the next Shabbos to be mazmin them for eating. You are eating them. Then you decided this way, so that doesn't take them out of the eating completely. Well, you never ate these things, and you designated them to begin with to dry, then Rabbi Yehuda would hold, even if you put them into an otzer, they're what's it called, their muktzah. But where you were eating the mamish, these things you still suffer eating. And then you changed your mind, you decided you're going to put them away somewhere, whether in an otzer or on the roof, then I might think that Rabbi Yehuda holds that next Shabbos you could change your mind again and decide to eat them again. Kamash Malon, no. Even if you were eating these things, mamish, and you changed your mind in the midst of eating. Once you change your mind, the next Shabbos you can't eat them, you can't move them unless you specifically take them out of the otzer or take them out of the roof and decide to eat them again. Kamash Malon, even the hell of Lagag, Asuche Aschi Daitim Minayu. Since you put them on the roof, you took your mind off of them, they're muktzah, and now in order to make them not muktzah, you have to do something to designate them for food. Rashi. And therefore, this Braisa goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Taka only holds of muktzah. The second kind of muktzah that Rabbi Shimon holds of is Dachya B'Yadayim, but only in a case where the thing is both designated for something of you don't want to use it anymore, and it goes through part of the process where it becomes unedible at some point in that process. Rashi. Ela grogros etzimukim, grogros te'enim shemala legag liyabshar. Grogros are figs that you put on the roof to dry out. And once you put them there, in a short amount of time, they become unedible until they and then dry out. The same thing goes with grapes. There's a time when they become disgusting, and then they're not edible again until they're dry. This is the chiddush that the Gemara says in the end, that you were mamish eating these things, right? You didn't designate them to begin with for something else. You were mamish eating them. Right? Even though you were eating, but then you put them on the roof, it took away from the designation of eating totally, and now in order to be able to eat them the next Shabbos, you have to take them off the roof and designate them again for eating. Chavushim quince. Chavushim or quince. Quince is a fruit, yeah. Even though these things, when they dry out, they're still edible. They never become unedible. Even if they stay on the roof a long time, there's no point where they become unedible. But what do we see? That whoever holds from this, whoever said this braisa, holds that if you designate them for drying, even if they never become unedible in the process, they're still usher to eat on Shabbos, and usher to move on Shabbos. The muktzah, right? Inei mer Rabbi Yehuda lo mili hanach denoket tedachinu biyadayim, afilu echnisu nami la'otzer boy hasmona. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they'd be muktzah even if you didn't put them up for drying. You just put them away, and you took your mind off of them for eating now, and you put them away to store them for later. They'd also be muktzah according to Rabbi Yehuda. So why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if this is Rabbi Yehuda, why did it say this case? Tell me the bigger chiddush. Morris says, no, it told me this case to tell me that if you were eating them, right? And then you decided to put them up on the roof, that what's it called, that it was still considered Dach Yodayim, okay? However, Tosfos brings down that, Tosfos is the same thing as Rashi, that why according to Rabbi Yehuda, why didn't we say the case of Otsar and not the case of Dach Yodayim? Okay, so two things here. No, nothing. It was interesting, some sofer, what's it called, you have an esrig that you decide you're not going to use for sukkahs, for dalad minim, but you want to use it for sukkah decoration. And then your esrig gets parcel and you want to use the esrig that's hanging in your sukkah. Right? Since you were makse for the mitzvah of sukkah, can you use it for the mitzvah of esrig? Some sofer says the whole idea of huksel mitzvah so is that it's a bizui for the mitzvah to use it for something else or whatever, but here it's not a bizui to use it for another mitzvah, and mitzvahs lav lahenis nitnu, you'd be allowed to use the esrig, some sofer says, for what's it called, for even though normally you can't use something that's decorations for any other purpose, for a purpose of a mitzvah you would be allowed to use it. And this tanai the Gemara speaks about, the machlokas rishonim, whether the tanai helps even on the wood of the sukkah and the schach, or only helps on the decorations, not on the schach and not on the wood itself. What? Well, it's machlokas rishonim, whether the tanai that we said, if you made a tanai before yontif, right, that you're going to be able to use the decorations the whole, whenever you want, then they don't become muktzah. So some rishonim hold that tanai could help even for things hanging from the schach, what's it called, and some hold that only even for decorations on the schach, and other holds that only helps for decorations that are not part of the schach, or it helps for the schach itself also, and for the wood of the sukkah also. You decide that that you don't want to be matzeh for the mitzvah of sukkah. So when it falls down or whatever, or that schach won't pass on the sukkah, you can take that off too. And that's how it helps with decorations. Rashi holds that it helps only for the noy hasukkah, not for the atzeh and schach, and the Ramban holds it up for everything.